We're turning to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, and it's, as we've been reading it, one of the longest psalms we've had for quite some time. Maybe the longest so far, virtually, I think, in the book of Psalms. Not as long as Psalm 119, of course. Psalm 37 was a long one. And so there's quite a lot here, and it's a very great psalm. It's one that people have perhaps struggled with, to try and think, well, what's the whole picture of the psalm? And there's always so much that can be said. Now, let God arise. This is a song to the chief musician. So a psalm or song of David. So it's something to be sung, and as it is in songs, there's often lots of content, lots of different thoughts, aren't there? And yet there's usually a common theme in them, and you can sing them over and over again, and different things will strike you at different times. But it seems to me that it expands on the previous psalm of seeking God's mercy and blessing, and that the gospel should be spread throughout the world. And in here we see how the mission of God takes place. God's mission, we could call this, God's great mission of salvation. And we see the mission itself, we see the missionaries, we see, if it's right to use the word, the general, and we see the captain, the strategy, and the victory. So it's a great mission that God has in the world, this mission of salvation. It starts then with the call, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. I thought of that second verse, as the smoke's driven away and the wax melted before the fire. So we have today, we have a, you've ever seen these people, they don't sweep them up, now they have this blower thing, and they blow away these leaves, and they clear areas. Have you seen these things out and about, cleaning posh big driveways? They blow these leaves away. You think it's a very strange activity, but it moves them. It moves them very swiftly away. Well, this is what we see here. God coming with power, and the enemies, well, they've got no hope. The righteous, in verse 3, should be glad, rejoicing. This is what the people of God should be like. Exceedingly rejoicing, verse 3. It's like Paul, rejoice. Again, I say unto you, rejoice. Why will the people of God not rejoice when God is all almighty? Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah, or part of the word Yahweh or Jehovah, and rejoice before him. So this, we almost have in this declaration of this mission, a great victory is assured right from the start. And the people of God are to know this and believe it, that God is for his people. He's against the enemies of God. The key verse, well, there are several great verses in this, and we don't want to detract from any of them, but verse 18, at the center of things, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts of men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Seeing there, this verse quoted in the New Testament of Jesus Christ, ascended, led captivity captive. He conquering, wasn't he, on the cross, bore sin, he took the wrath of sin, conquered the devil, conquered hell, conquered sin, the hell, devil, everything, the world, the flesh, the devil, all conquered on the cross, victoriously overcome death, swallowed up in victory, ascended on high, led captivity captive, and then received gifts for men in the glory of heaven. Jesus Christ received gifts from men, sent down, he sent, didn't he, through the Holy Spirit, gifts to men. Yea, for the rebellious also. This is the power of God. This is really the key for this whole thing here, but we'll come to it in a minute. Because you need to have this before you. The glory of Jesus Christ in heaven, sending his power and his strength down for his people. Because we see his people here. In these verses before here. Look, who are these people? Well, they're singing. They're right. They're counted righteous. Let the righteous be glad. The point we talk about quite a lot, who's righteous? You think, well, not me. Well, a person who trusts in Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. Their sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. He's paid for our sins. And in exchange, his righteousness is counted to the believer. He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's abbreviating a little bit from 2 Corinthians there. This great exchange, the sinner, it's all taken off in the cross of Christ. The righteousness of Christ, because he's still righteous, but his righteousness, his perfection, is that's how you're clothed as a believer. So you're counted as righteous, so you can be glad. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, you can be glad, you can rejoice, you can sing exceedingly. How marvelous, I could never go to heaven. But Jesus Christ is the Lord my righteousness, the Lord my Saviour, my Redeemer, saved by his precious blood. I'm singing praises. But we're in a battle. The enemies of God are against God. They're his enemies, but they're against the people of God as well. And we are his witnesses. We are talked about, the Lord gave the word, verse 11. Great was the company of those who published it. You wouldn't think so sometimes. Most preachers are despised by the world. Even the finest preacher you hear, you might go into church sometime and think, what a wonderful preacher that was. And you'll find that those around, they don't want to hear it. Some do. There's a church. Maybe it's full of people. Maybe there's hundreds. Maybe there's a thousand or two in the church. But around is a city of hundreds of thousands. They hate the place. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers after George Whitfield, probably in our country ever, the great Baptist minister in the 19th century, they had 6,000 people their church held. It was full. And he had to tell people to go away. He said, would you not come this week so there'd be a seat for one of your neighbours? Tell your neighbour to come and tell him he can have your seat. And it was like that. But you know, they used to take the mickey out of Spurgeon. Their cartoons about him was in the national press. They used to mock him and joke about him. But he was one of the mighty preachers that preached the word of God. So the enemy is against him. Spurgeon had a lot of struggles and difficulties. He found the whole church, all the other churches in the Baptist Union, they wouldn't stand with him on standing for the truth of the deity of Jesus Christ, the sufficiency of the work of Jesus Christ to save a sinner. They all fell away. Maybe there was one or two that didn't. Very, very poor it was. And yet, this was a mighty preacher. And so this is where we are against the enemy, you see. But now, we're not all Spurgeons. We're not all great preachers. We're not all able to put up with such things, you might think. But you know, it's surprising what the people of God can do, because he's given gifts to men. Verse 18, he's led captivity captive. He's ascended on high. Jesus is Lord. Jesus reigns. Jesus gives gifts to his people. To the poor, to the lowly. To shame the wise. Don't think, oh, I'm a fool. I could never impress anybody. You don't have to impress anybody. The Lord is our strength. So I describe us all here. The description of the people of God. Verse 5. And of how the Lord is with his people. Verse 5. A father of the fatherless. Today it's hard to find a father to adopt a fatherless child. For one reason or another, the process doesn't go ahead very quickly. We want to get the children back to their fathers, and there's very difficult problems with husbands and wives and all sorts of difficulties. But God, a father to the fatherless. These are the sort of people. Fatherless children, they're often full of troubles. They're no good to the world, are they? But if they come to God in Jesus Christ, he'll be a father. He'll be a better father than any father to them. This is the sort of people we have. They have a judge of the widows. The poor widow, she's very vulnerable. She can get ripped off. Someone comes round, knock on your door. You've got a trouble with this, I'll fix it. And the man takes all the money and steals and all sorts of things. All sorts of things can happen to the widow. She's got no one to look after her, perhaps. She's got no children even, perhaps, to care for her. But a judge of the widows. God, being the judge, he'll deal with the widow kindly. He'll help her through. See, so the poor widow, you remember the widow's might. Giving her little coin, giving her all, just a small thing, whether you're a widow or a widower, some of us might be here, your little bit. It's mighty to God. It's worth more than the millions that were put in by the rich men. The widow's might. What can she do? God's for her. If she's for God, if she's with the Lord, this is the army that God uses. Isn't it lovely? Isn't it assuring? The fatherless, the widows, the solitary. It can be hard being on your own. Solitary sort of person, perhaps. Or through circumstances, you're on your own most of the time. God, verse 6, setteth the solitary in families. We're a sort of a family here, aren't we? We're the people of God are a family. We're not. I mean, in some ways we're closer than a family. In some ways we haven't got all that history. We don't know each other from birth and whatever. But in Jesus Christ, if we're all in Jesus Christ, we're very close. We share this amazing grace of God that he died for me. Jesus died for me. He died for me. Really? Isn't that wonderful? That we are accepted by God. We're brethren, children of God, if we're in Jesus Christ. And so the church is formed largely of people who know this. And so he set it for solitary. I remember being a very lonely sort of person. I was brought to church. Came to Jesus Christ, trusted him, and suddenly I had a family. Not that I didn't have a family myself before, but this is the family of God. This is a very special family. People say there's all sorts of funny people in churches, but they're given a family. No one else would give them a family, but God does. He setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. Continuing in verse 6. Those that have been in prison. Those that have had all sorts of undesirable qualities to their lives, all sorts of burdens. Come to Jesus Christ, the Saviour, and you have peace with God. Isn't that amazing? From being a prisoner, being locked in, as it were, suddenly he comes to those that are bound in chains. That's really something about this. Earlier on about different forms of slavery. A person could be a slave. They could be, if they were a Christian, they were free. And there's other people who appear to be ruling the world. They're slaves. They're the real slaves, the slaves of sin. But in Jesus Christ, he brings those. He brings them. So we're a bit of a motley crew, you might say. But the rebellious dwell in the dry land. Those that won't come to the Lord, there's no promise for them, is there? They haven't got oil in their lamps, like the wise virgins. They aren't prepared, they haven't been using their talents, they haven't got this gift of God and taken it up. They've despised it and left it. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. Now when you're talking of this land of Egypt, Israel, and this out in the east, the dry land is bad, bad. We don't want too much rain, do we, here? But we need some rain, but it's dry. There's no water. That's death, isn't it? The rebellious, then God will not be deal with favorably. And then he takes these people through a wilderness. You think, this is a strange life, isn't it? I'm having a lot of trouble in this life. Well, look what God did. God, O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. In the weariness of the wilderness, God cares for his people. It's again, it's a comparison, isn't it? There was a rich man, and he lived in luxury. You think, oh, I'd like to live in a bit of luxury for a few years. They get used to it. They can get too comfortable up there. But in the wilderness, John the Baptist in the wilderness, don't you? The people of God, when they were taken out of Egypt, they're all moaning. They hadn't got their leeks, and they hadn't got their garlic, and their various things that they liked. I think it was melons and cucumbers. They missed them. They were only getting manna. They were moaning to Moses. But God was with them. They were better off. Moses knew. He gave up being the son of Pharaoh's daughter to be with the people of God. It's a place to be. These are the people in this wilderness. They look like they're pilgrims, aren't we? Strangers and pilgrims in this world. But God is with his people. And the mountains shake as he goes before them here. And what else do we have here? We have the poor. Some people think that if you're poor, you're somehow better off. There's this great despising today of people who've got money. But here, nevertheless, God has prepared of thy goodness for the poor. Some people haven't got very much. It's amazing today. We're hearing a lot of complaints in society, and people can go to church for free on Sundays, can't they? Twice a day they can go. They come to ours twice a day. Some of them it's once, but they can go to church for free. However poor they are, they don't need any money to go to church. They can go for free on Sundays. So presumably if they can get off out of working, I know it's difficult with a lot of people today with work. They push you to work in a lot of places, but a lot of people don't have to work still on the Lord's Day. And goodness for the poor, they think, yes, you think, well, they're complaining because they can't be here and there doing this and that. Some people want to be, they don't have a Sunday unless they've got a big outing that costs them a lot of money or whatever. They need to go to some great big place or do something. But no, the Lord has given the poor the Lord's Day, the Lord's people, the Lord's house, without excuse for that. God's goodness to the poor. These are his people, you see. And the preachers we've mentioned as well. Great was the company of those that published it. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Another part of God's army, the preachers themselves here, publishing the word of God. And verse 12, then those, some people are at home, can't get out. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Now, obviously some people are stuck in, they can't get outside at all. People live here, aren't they? They don't go out much. But with God, kings of armies might flee away from the fear of God, yet the person could be at home and enjoying the blessings of God. Something of old age there. As you get older, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got nothing, you can't go anywhere, can't do anything, can't get up, can't walk, whatever happens, there's a spoil, there's these riches of Christ, which you've got to carry with you to the grave, and then it goes beyond the grave in here, in fact. And then, what about other people? Some people say, well, it's all right for you. Then verse 13, though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. I always think of Job, who sat in the ashes with these, what the great, loveliest word, a potsherd. The word in the Bible has a piece of broken pottery. We don't tend to see them much nowadays, but if you do gardening, you have these bits of broken pottery. Normally, you always get bits of broken pots, and they're very good sharp edges for scratching. You could do all sorts of things with a piece of broken pottery. But if you were lying among them, and you were down in the lowest point, and scratching away with a piece of old pottery on your sore old skin, feeling pretty rotten like Job was. Though you've lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. Isn't that a beautiful picture? A dove is a beautiful thing. But to have the wings covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold, it must be a very beautiful bird. But that's promised to the people of God in their sorrows, in their pains, in their agonies. This is what lies ahead. So that's the missionaries. They're a rather funny group. Now the general, and we will have to press on with these last points a lot more quickly. I haven't got extensive notes on any of this. So here, the general himself, when the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels, or thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. They think back to Sinai and the giving of the Ten Commandments and the mountain on fire, and people couldn't touch the mountain or a beast, or it would be killed. It's a fearful thing. The almightiness of God, and the hills that were leaping up and down, and a great hill of God, a great high hill, an almighty sight of God. And he is the general. God the Father is the general of this mighty army of the feeble. These people we've spoken about, the fatherless, the widows, the solitary, all these poor, itching people, as it were. God is in charge. But what an army, you see. But what's he going to do with them? What's the Lord going to do? He's almighty. He can manage with this army of feeble people. Because as it says in verse 18, which we started on, thou hast ascended on high. This verse quoted in the New Testament several times in Ephesians and in Acts, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll just take the quotation from Ephesians chapter 4. Here, where it says, it explains that Jesus Christ ascended on high. This is how the army works, as I started off by saying, that he ascended and he took captivity captive. Ephesians 4 verse 8, from verse 8, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, it goes about the apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See the purpose of all the gifts of God ascending down from heaven. Christ ascended. He's in heaven. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? And the Saviour is in, with the Father in glory. But from there, he sends gifts down. He pours out his gifts. It says in the next verse of our psalm, verse 19, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death, beyond death. The Lord brings his people through. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. This is, as I said to start, this is the key. That God's pouring out his gifts to his people. Yes, to poor people, to ordinary people, to sinners that are saved. He pours out his gifts. I'm not talking about gifts of healing. I'm not talking about gifts of speaking in tongues or of prophecy, but the simplest and greatest gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, of God being with his people and giving us assurance and enabling us to be turning from our sins and loving him, loving the Lord. These are the gifts and they're necessary for the fruits of the Spirit. It's important people often dwell on the gifts, but see the fruits that come in Ephesians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. See, yeah, people don't think that that's a great holy thing to do. If they can put themselves through something and show themselves to be a great hero, that's sort of being a good thing. But long-suffering, to patiently endure when things are against us, to go through it calmly. Yes, because God's for us, so whatever's going on around there, let them carry on. Long-suffering. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Because God's with us. He sent his Spirit. He's for us. He works in the heart of the person. Knowing that God's for us. Who can be against us? Gentleness then. Goodness. Faith. Yes, we believe. Meekness. Because we're no better than anybody else. It's all God's grace. If I'm saved, it's God's grace. It's nothing I've done. How did he bring me to trust in him? I don't know. I didn't do it. He showed me himself. He revealed himself. It's his personal, isn't it? He reveals himself with conviction of sin. And you see him here of Jesus Christ. You can't do it, but nothing else but believe. Either you believe or you don't. You're commanded to, but what could you do? It's God has shown you, yes, it's true. Jesus is the Saviour. That's why I trust upon him. Temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another or envying one another. So this is the fruit of the Spirit. People that don't envy one another. That was to be a high ideal. You see a church's they have these mission statements of what they're going to do. Let's not envy one another. Let's not provoke one another. These are great gifts. It shows that God has given gifts. And these things are seen. The world sees these things. The world knows that the church is different to how they go on. So this is how God's power works. This is how he does it through his captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is his strategy. I'm bringing all these last points together here. Sending down these gifts from heaven. We pray. We can pray that God will pour out his blessing. Not that we'll be. Some of the churches can pour his blessing so that I'll be all sort of special. No. We're just these poor people. God's pour out his blessing. That it may go out to others. That others may know of Christ, that others may be saved. And I'm really going to go through to the end here. Look, some of the promises, I'm skipping down I'm skipping down here really to verse 31. We don't want to leave things out, but princes shall come out of Egypt. There's a promise, isn't there? Wouldn't it be lovely today? Some prince from Egypt comes out as for Jesus Christ. Or some of these leaders from these countries. I've become a Christian. I've realized my sins. Do you ever hear these? Well, of course, we're not about to boast about our repentance or anything like that, but it's a simple thing, isn't it? Yes, I realized that I was a sinner. Why do you realize? Well, I don't know. Yes, it's because God's gifts have been sent down from heaven. The Holy Spirit's been sent down to convince someone of sin. That's what it takes. To convince them that their sins have bringing them into hell. And so they turn to God. They turn from whatever thing, wherever they are, whatever state they're in. They realize they couldn't go to heaven. They couldn't be with God. But there's Jesus Christ, the Savior, who's died for sinners and has risen and ascended and has poured out this Holy Spirit to bring us, whether we're from Egypt or they've got Ethiopia here, shall soon stretch out our hands unto God. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? It's a lovely story, isn't it? Where they go and speak to Philip. He goes and speaks to him in the Acts of the Apostles. And one of the first Christians was an African. Isn't that lovely? And so, sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth, sing praises unto the Lord. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God, his excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible, awesome. Out of thy holy places, the God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. It's God that gives, this principle from the center of the psalm there. God gives strength and power to his people. He doesn't, they're still the people, they're still these weak people. There appear to be this army, this strange army of missionaries in the world. But God pours out to him his Holy Spirit and gives them strength and power. This is how the Lord works in this great mission. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. But let the righteous be glad. The song. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. It's almost as if the singing of the praises of God will bring down the enemies of God. The armies will be melted like wax, driven away like smoke. But our desire is not for any of these enemies of God to end up in hell, but they may be converted. This is the work of God in the sending of his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, oh Lord, it's a marvellous psalm. We've touched on some of the things here that thou hast given us. The mighty power that thou dost have to work from heaven. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast not cut us off, but that thou hast sent the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, and that from heaven he pours out his Holy Spirit, the blessedness of the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit poured out from heaven and sent, giving gifts to men. Lord, we pray that thou would continue with us, that thou would be patient with us. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us, Lord, for those things we've thought we must do in our own strength and haven't depended upon thee as we should. And Lord, help thy people to sing thy praise. Help us not to be fearful of those who are against thee, thy enemies, Lord. Help us to love our enemies. And we pray that the gospel may go forth clearly in this land once more and in other countries where some of us are from, different countries here this evening, that thou would bless them, bless our families and friends. May people be saved, Lord, from their sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.